I want to speak to you this morning on, we're going to read a lot of scriptures and just share as we go along. We're going to start out in Ephesians chapter 2 for those of you that want to read with us. And we're going to read some in chapter 2 and chapter 4 of Ephesians and probably chapter 5. I don't know. We're going to probably read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you want to have some of these passages of scriptures down, I'll give them to you again as we go along here. Most all of us as Christians, God has a plan for us, and His plan is for us. In fact, He tells us in several places in the Bible, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, He says, We've seen him, and we've heard, we declare him unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we spoke on fellowship last Sunday. And He says in verse 4 of 1 John, and these things write we to you, that your joy may be full. Amen? So all of the things that are written in here, first in St. John chapter 15, I think He says the same thing. John chapter 15, verse 11, He says to His disciples and those that were listening to Him, John 15, 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So one of the things that the Lord wants us as Christians, even though we go through battles, we go through struggles, and the Bible tells us that we have a problem with circumstances and situations in our lives, even in the midst of the circumstances and situations of our lives, God expects us to have two things. The reason we have these two things, I might add, is because we do what the Lord tells us to do, but not only that, we have them because without these two things in our lives, we're going to have a difficult time trying to live in the way that God wants us to be. So God tells us that He wants us to have peace and He wants us to have fellowship. And the peace of God is, it passes all understanding. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know what the Bible says? And so the joy and the peace is due to our fellowship and our relationship with the Lord. So as we develop that fellowship with Him, our joy in Him and our peace in Him should increase. Amen? Even though we may be going through problems and even may we be going through tough times and hard times and situations and circumstances, because we learn as Christians, hopefully we do, that our joy, the joy that He has given to us, and the peace that He's given to us, is not dependent on our circumstances. Everybody hear me? Our joy and our peace that He's given to us, free. We can't earn it, we don't work for it, we don't deserve it. But when we find the Lord, He fills us with His joy and He fills us with His peace. He fills us with Himself, and we are to maintain that fellowship and that fulfilling, be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess. Ephesians 4 says, be not drunk wine wherein in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That means be continually being filled with the Spirit. Amen? And we're going to learn some of the things that is our place and our responsibility in Christ so that we continue to enjoy His joy and His fellowship, even in the midst of circumstances and trials of life, spiritual warfare and disappointments and disagreements. And we all sometimes have problems with jobs and with finances and with husbands and with wives and with children. And, you know, we could go on and on, bosses and relatives and people with whom we work and cars breaking down and houses, air conditioning. You know, we just have all kinds of situations that the enemy can use in this life. to rob us. And that's why Jesus said, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. And that's what he wants to take from you, is the joy and the peace that the Lord of God has given us in our hearts. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we, and this ought to make us all shout. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together. Amen. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, verse 5. How many of you realize that before you were saved, and if you've never been saved, you're still dead in trespasses and sins? But when you're saved and born again by the Spirit of God, you're no longer dead in trespasses and sins, because He's made you alive with Christ, not because of what you've done, but He says right here, by grace you have been saved. Amen? Grace means that's God's unearned, undeserved favor. And God looked at us when He saw us in our lost condition, whether we knew it or not. And when we came, He dealt with us, and we came to Him and we said, Lord, save me. We hadn't done anything good. We couldn't do anything good. He generally shows us it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. I didn't deserve that. When I came to this altar in another church, to the altar, and I said, Lord, I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't know what to pray. I just come and said, I need You. I need Your help. And from that time to this, I've never been the same. I've been born again by the Spirit of God, and I have become, and so have you, whether you realize it or not, we have become new creations in Christ Jesus. New creations in Christ Jesus. So He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6. And I'm telling you all of this so your joy can be full. Amen? And so you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding, even in the midst of the storms and problems of life, and even though you don't know what's going on sometimes, you know, think it not strange. The Bible says, amen, when fiery trials come, don't think it strange. Amen? That's just an indication. I saw some person said, tell me, well, ever since I've become a Christian, I've had all kind of problems. I said, well, praise God. Looked at me like, I said, that just, I'm not sure I'm saved. That just means that's the first indication that you are saved. The devil is now your enemy, and he's trying his best to rob you of your peace and your joy, and doesn't want you to realize and understand that you have the peace and joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and that you've been set free. Amen? Verse 6. This is what He's done for us. He's raised us up together. Everybody say together. And the reason I want to emphasize together, as you're going to see as we go through this, is because when He's put us in Christ and He's raised us up together, there's other people that are in Christ. Are you with me? They've been born again. They're children of God. They're God's family. And they're in the same place that we are. I don't care what denomination the tag they wear. If they've received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're in the body of Christ, or they wouldn't be saved. Amen? And so, and we're raised up together. Everybody say raised up. Do you feel like you've been raised up? Well, if you look around at your circumstances, sometimes we don't feel like we've been raised up, do we? We feel like we're still down here going through all this mess. But the Bible tells us we're raised up together, and we've been all made. He's made us, verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 2, made us set together. Where are we? Hey, you say, well, I'm still here on this earth. Well, you are in the body. You're still here on this earth. But in the Spirit, God's raised you up. You're already seated in heavenly places. Do you understand that? Wow. That causes me a joy. That makes me happy. I'm not waiting to get to heaven. I'm already been set up down with Jesus Christ in heaven, in heavenly places. And that happened to me when I was born, and you, when we were born again. Are you listening to me? Well, praise God. Somebody ought to be able to shout over that. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're not sitting there because we've earned it. We're sitting there because He earned it. He earned it. He raised us up. Why did God do this? So, verse 7. That in ages to come. Now, that means here on this earth, in the various time frames on this earth, in ages. That means time frame, times period, in ages to come. What does He want to do? He's going to use, oh, praise God. He's going to use us, and He's going to show and demonstrate what He did for us when we were undeserving, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, that by His grace and His love, He sent His only Son and made a way to lift us up and set us down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And He's doing that so that when the people see that in the future ages and in the future time, when they see it and they understand, verse 7, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Boy, and I said, "Are you saved?" I said, "Yeah, I'm saved." "What does that mean?" I said, "Well, and how did that happen?" It's by grace. And I knew you when you were a kid. I knew what kind of kid you were. I said, "Isn't God's grace wonderful?" I'm not the same old person. I've been born again. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. You see what's happened to me? Yeah, you're a preacher. I said, no, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. How did I get in this position? Because I joined the church, or you know, most of them think, well, you got there because you joined the church, or you got religion, or you did this, or you did that. And I said, I got there because God loved me. Somebody prayed for me. And God's grace found me. And I responded to His love. And I haven't been the same since. Amen. Praise God. This is who we are in Christ. And we're in Christ and in the ages to come so that God might show His grace and His kindness. Aren't you glad God's a kind God? A good God, a great God, a mighty God, an awesome God. Now, verse 12. Verse 12, Ephesians chapter 2, that in that time you were without Christ. And what was our condition before we met Christ and He raised us up and set us together in heavenly places and Christ God met us? And that at that time, we were without Christ. And I want everybody to understand that without Christ, we're aliens. Look, we were aliens. You know what an alien is? That means somebody that doesn't belong here. We have aliens that come across the border or come in all different countries, and that means they weren't born there. They have to be adopted or brought into there, and there's nothing there's nothing wrong as long as they try to do all that legally. But we're aliens. What are we aliens from? Before we were in Christ, we were dead in trespasses and sins, He tells us in verse 5. Now He's telling us in verse 12 that before, when we were without Christ, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We weren't Jews. We were Gentiles for the most part. And strangers from the covenants of promise. We didn't have any promise or any hope. He tells us, we had having no hope and without God in this world. Every time I think about that, that's where I used to be. And I think about the people that I'm praying for. I know that there's many of them that I'm praying for that that's their condition right now. They don't have any hope, and they're without God in this world. And we all have loved ones and family members. And I just pray that God will help us get an understanding of where they are. They're without hope and without God. And it's one of our responsibilities to at least pray for them, number one. You say, well, how do you pray? Well, Titus chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, you pray that if God would grant repentance to the recovery of the truth, to the discovery of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by the devil at his will. 1 Timothy 2, 24, 25, and 26. That the God of peace would grant, mercy would grant repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The Bible tells us in Corinthians chapter 4, and I think it's somewhere along in there, says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glory of Christ should shine unto them and they could be saved. What we need to pray for them, God, is open their eyes. Help them to see. Why do we need God to open their eyes? Because He's the only one that can. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I'm giving you some scriptures here. Amen. So, they don't have any hope, and they're without God in the world. And a lot of them are not aware of that because they've been vaccinated and inoculated by the religion of this world. They don't realize that they don't have hope, and they don't realize that they're without God. They don't even understand we're Christians that are serving God and loving God, and how the peace of God and the love of God that passes all understanding, how they can be so happy and continue in their relationship with the Lord, because they don't know what it's about. So verse 12, that at that time, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, at that time, at the time before we came to know Christ, we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, verse 13, somebody say, but now. What does now mean? How many of you are saved? How many of you are Christians? Does that mean right now? Are you listening to me? Right now. Now. Not after a while, not when I die and try to go figure out whether I'm saved or lost. Right now, in Christ Jesus, you, everybody say me if you're saved. Me, we, I, who we were once afar off. Amen. Separated, cut off from God, dead in trespasses and sins, without hope and without God, now in Christ, we've been brought near. How have we been brought near? How have we been brought into the family of God? By the blood of Christ. Amen. By the blood. We sing nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood. Amen. It was His blood that shed on Christ. That was the only way. By one man, the Bible tells us, sin came into the world, and that was through Adam. And by one man, grace and peace and God's love come into the world, and that was by one man, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12, I think, is where that's found. So, but now, right now, amen, those of us in Christ who were once afar off, we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for He Himself, where does the peace of God come from? Jesus Christ in us and us in Him, He Himself is our peace. And somebody say amen. who he, Jesus, was made both one, has made both one. Now, I need to explain that the both here is he's talking about because he is addressing, in general, the peoples of the world, all peoples of the world, and he's only putting them in two classifications, Jews and Gentiles. And so he's saying that God's plan was to bring Jews and Gentiles in the body of Christ and to himself and become their peace. Amen? We all have to be saved, Jews and Gentiles. And that's all the people of the world. He himself is our peace, who has made both one, Jews and Gentiles, all of humanity, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Can somebody say amen? I didn't know there was a wall separating me from Christ. I didn't know much about anything about those things, spiritual things. But when I came to Christ, the only way I could come to him was because Jesus Christ, through his blood and his death and his burial and his resurrection, broke down the wall that separated both Jews and Gentiles from God and has brought us together in one body and brought us into the presence of God the Father. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if y'all, this is good stuff. If you get a hold of this, you'll have a runaway somewhere, sometime, when it dawns on you what God's done. Verse 14, for he himself, and I'm just really, we might as well forget about a whole lot of other scriptures I have. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Verse 15, how did he do it? Having abolished in his flesh, that was his body on the cross, amen, his flesh, the enmity, that is what kept us apart. That's what has keeping us separated from God, enmity. God was at, we weren't right with God and God wasn't right with us because we were as far apart as the north is from the south. That was the enmity. And he broke that. Having abolished in his flesh, verse 15, Ephesians 2, abolished in his flesh, the enmity that is in the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So when the law came, the law never did save anybody, and it never can and it never will. That's the Ten Commandments and the laws of God that God gave to the Jews. The whole law, Paul says, when the commandment came, oh my goodness, I just have to share this. Anyway, most people think, well, when we hear the Ten Commandments and the commandment comes, well, then we can do those things and we can get saved by doing them. Well, Paul said, and he was, now listen, Paul was a man that had studied the law. He knew all about the Old Testament. He was even going out and killing Christians because they were fighting against God, his God. He was a very religious man. He believed in God with all of his heart. But he says in Romans chapter 7 and 8, when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. When I really understood the law that I had been preaching and teaching that would get it, I thought would get us right with God, when I fully understood it, when it came, when the understanding of it came, I was a dead man. I realized it didn't come to save me. It came to help me to realize that I was lost and I was undone before God. And when the commandment came, sin came and I died and I said, woe unto me, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? So don't let religion, if you're one of those that religion has deceived you and you think you're going to get right with God because you're keeping the commandments, and I'm not saying you break them either. Let's make that clear right now. I'm not saying you break them. But I'm just saying you can't keep them. And so when the commandments came and we fully understand them, we can't keep them. There's not a person in this room who can get past the first commandment. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. How many of you, don't raise your hand because I don't want to see any liars in here. Amen? Are you with me? So that ought to make you understand why Jesus had to come and suffer and bleed and die. And he's the one that abolished the law and the sin and the separation. He broke down the middle wall, having abolished in his flesh, verse 15, the enmity that is in the law. The enmity came into our recognition and our understanding by the ordinances of the law and the things that we heard when we heard the Ten Commandments. Amen. And the ordinances. And the reason that happened so as to create in himself, in Christ, in himself, he's created one new man from the two. So he's making Jews and Gentiles and all the people of the world. He died for the sins of the whole world. And whoever believes on him, puts their trust in him, the Bible says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, if you mean that from your heart. Amen. The middle wall is broken down between Jews and Gentiles, and it's not I become a Jew to get to join a Jewish religion or start trying to keep the Ten Commandments or any other kind of laws or rules or religious rules or regulations. It means that I come to Christ and he saves me and I'm saved. Amen. And I'm saved by faith. That means trust. It's not what I've done. The only thing that I've done to get there was I've come to him and said, God, have mercy on me and save me for Jesus' sake. I believe that Jesus died for me, took my sins and bore my sins in his body on the cross. And now when I did that, I didn't become a new creature because I made myself born again or because I got religion. He made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. He birthed me and you and all of us into the kingdom of God. Into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so what did he do? The last part of verse 15, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. We have peace with God through the love of Christ who died for us. Amen. Isn't that what the Bible says? Verse 16. And that he, that is God and the Lord Jesus, he might reconcile them both, Jews and Gentiles and all the people of the world, in one body. Everybody say one body. And how was he going to justify them and reconcile them? And reconcile means to bring back together. Amen. How was he going to do that? Through the cross. You with me? That's the only way he's going to do it. He didn't do that through the Methodist, Baptist, Catholic Church, any denomination, Jewish religion, or any other religion. The only way that he reconciled us was through his death, burial, and resurrection from the cross. Thereby, through the cross, thereby, last part of verse 16, putting to death the enmity. He killed that enmity in Christ. He broke down the wall of separation. He killed the enmity. And all of us who now come to Christ and are placed in Christ by the baptism of by the Holy Spirit, by baptizing us and placing us into the body of Christ, we are now, that enmity is broken down, the reconciliation has come, and we are now the children of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So what did he do? Verse 17. So because Jesus came in his one body and offered it, took our sins in his body on the cross, died in your place to take your sins and mine. Amen. So now what is he doing? He's not coming to condemn and to preach condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. He came, and what did he do? He, God, came through the Holy Spirit and through his Son and through those of us who recognize our place and our responsibility in Christ. He came and preached peace to you who were afar off. That's what I'm preaching about this morning. Who were afar off, and to them those who were near. So supposedly the Jews were near because they were the ones that God came and had gave them the Ten Commandments and had their Moses, Abraham, and all of those. But they were the ones that were supposed to be his people, but they were lost just like we were. Amen? That's what he's saying here. You understand that? So Jews and Gentiles, he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those that were near. Verse 18 is because it's through him, everybody say through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we both, Jews and Gentiles, and all the peoples of the world, that's what he's saying here, we have both, Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Amen. You see that? Verse 19. How does that verse begin? Somebody tell me. I like these now words, let me tell you. This is not something by and by that we get after a while, after we die. You know, this is now. This is our now. You know, when we come to Christ, that was our now. Now, therefore, because of therefore means, refers back to what he just said before. Therefore, we go back and understand what he said, therefore. He wants you to understand that now, those of you that are now in Christ Jesus, been saved by his one body, and you're in one body through the death, burial, and resurrection through the cross. Therefore, right now, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. Amen? You're no longer, we're no longer strangers and foreigners, but what are we? But now listen to this, because this is going to knock you down. If you've never heard this before, we need to understand this. As Christians, that's why God's having me teach this. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Who is our citizenship with? We're now citizens with the saints. Amen? And members of the household of God. That's who you are, brother. That's who you are, sister. Your fellow citizens. Verse 20. We have been built. I'm saying having been built. We, that those of us that are fellow citizens and saints and are no and members of the household of God are no longer strangers and foreigners, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The apostles and the prophets who've gone before us, Jesus laid the foundation. He's the cornerstone. The apostles and all of those that came along, we've been built. You're a citizen with that group. You're a part of that family. That's who you are. Praise God. That's who you are. That's who we are. Jesus Christ, verse 21, in whom the whole building. So now he's going to talk about a building in whom that we, you know, the body of Christ. That's why you get over in Ephesians, different places in the Bible, you're going to find out that husbands are to love their wives because, and what Paul is talking about there, and the reason they're supposed to do that is because the husband and the wife represent Jesus Christ and the body of Christ, which is the church. And so, that being true, and us being members of the whole body, the church, in whom, being, verse 21, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, Are you listening to me? Together, amen. Together with one another, other fellow believers. I don't care if there's a believer in Timbuktu or Afghanistan that I don't even know. We're together in the same body in Christ. He's in the same body that I'm in, has the same Father, the same God, the same Savior. It's the same cross, amen. It's the same book, same Bible, same Word, same Holy Spirit that saved him. We're all one together in the body of Christ, being fitted together, and everybody say grows. Because we're going to have to grow. Amen? We're going to have to grow in a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom you also, how many of yous are here? You're Christian? You also are builded, and you are also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Amen? Now, that's who you are. Wow. Now, if the enemy comes and tries to tell you that you're not this, who God's word says that's who we are, and if the enemy comes and tries to tell me that that's not, are you, if that's happened in your life, trying to tell you that you're not a part of the building, you're not a part of the body, you're not saved, you're still dead in trespasses and sins, you tell that liar to hit the road. Because the Word of God says you are. You're not going to be, you are right now. That's the whole point of all of this. Praise God. Make a dead man stand up and shout. It did me. Made me dead. I was a dead man. It made me stand up and shout. Amen. I'm still shouting. All right. Now we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 1. I want to finish a couple more passages of Scripture here. And I guarantee you I'll be through here in just about 5 minutes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul's talking about himself. He's also talking about us. Amen? Because the whole book of Ephesians is written to us as believers. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Paul had become voluntary a prisoner of the Lord. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us. See, that's a part of our growing process. We become to the place to where we love the Lord so much. I gave myself to the Lord when I was saved. In order to be saved. I didn't have any idea, and I didn't have the foggiest idea that one day I'd be standing up here and doing this. Let me tell you that for sure. And if anybody, in fact, my best friend, who was he was as bad as I was, maybe, well, I'm not saying worse, but when he heard we'd started a church here in Ingleside, he said to some of the guys that we used to run around with, when they told him, said, Lewis Cowan has started a church here in this town. He said, say that again? Lewis Cowan has started a church in this town? I got to go hear him. Well, he did. He come, got saved, got healed, got filled with the Holy Spirit. His wife got saved, got healed, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he became the secretary treasurer of this church and was for about 10 or 15 years. He was my best friend. Before we became Christians, he came even a better friend after we became Christians. His dad was the superintendent of the schools here, Mr. Blasky. And he was 2 years older than I was. He was my example. What an example he was. Later on, I became an example for him. Amen. And what an example I was. Thank God. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Here Paul is saying, and the Spirit of God through the Word is saying to those of us who have had this experience, he's saying, I beg you. I beg you as a child of God. I beg you as a Christian, since God has done all of this for you, I beseech you, I beg you that you would understand so you could do what? Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So he's saying, I want you as a Christian, as a believer, I want you to grow up and I want you to begin to understand because I want you to conduct yourself in the manner of who you are in Christ. That word walk means to conduct yourself. That's, I want you to live like you're who you are. And if we don't understand who we are in Christ, we certainly can't live it. You with me? But when we understand it, and we said, God, I thank you. Praise God what you really did for me. I really understand who I am now in Christ. Now I want to conduct myself in such a worthy manner so it'll please you and bring praise and honor and glory to your name. Are you going to be perfect at it? No. But with God's help, you can do a whole lot better than you've been doing. Amen? We all can. You listen? So that's what he says. I want you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You mean you were called? I was called? Let me tell you something. If you're saved, you were called. You can't be saved unless the Holy Spirit calls you and draws you to the Lord. Get that down right now. So if you were called to the Lord. Now, there's some other callings and some other gifts, and I'll get into that later maybe if the Lord lets me. We'll get into that. But you were called, and you responded to that call, thank God, and that's how we were saved. Amen? Okay, so now how does he want us to walk worthy of the Lord and the calling that he's given us? Verse 2. Now, you're probably not going to like this. Because it goes completely contrary to what the society, be successful, be somebody, be lifted up, be full of pride, be praising for all the good and wonderful things. You're saying to everybody, look at me. Are you with me? Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. But as Christians, we don't do that. We say, when you look at me, see Jesus. Amen. And he's lifted up. And when you really know and understand who I am, and you see what I am in Christ, then you know, bless God, God had to do something in that man, or he would never be the way he is right now. So, I live my life by the power of God. You don't have to do it on your own. He gives you the power. God working in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2 says, or what fact it is, 13, 12 and 13. Okay. So how do you walk? You don't walk in pride, you walk in lowliness. You're going to have to humble yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you in due season. Amen? Lowliness, gentleness, come on now, with long-suffering, huh? What does long-suffering mean? That means you're going to have to put up with some people. if you're saved and your wife is lost, if you're saved and your husband's lost, and you're saved and you have children that are lost, you're going to have to be long-suffering and putting up with them and be gentle with them so they can get saved too. You with me? Bearing with one another. That's long-suffering. Putting up with one another in love. And that's just not the love that we have for people, but that's the love that God gives us for people. For the love of God, Romans 5:5, I think it is, says, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Here in John chapter 4, I think it is, long right in there, says, and herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. This is where love is. This is where the love of God comes from. We love Him because He first loved us, and when we understand how much He loved us, we vow to love Him. Are you with me? And when that love fills us and flows through us, then what do? We start being lowly and gentle and long-suffering with one another in love. And what are we trying to do as a part of the body of Christ in our homes, families, and everywhere else, and even in the church? We are endeavoring. That means we're trying to do the best we can to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen? Our place and responsibility in Christ is to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of Christ, in the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ, the church, and all the people that are in it can be lifted up and be encouraged and helped and strengthened and realize, hey, you're not in this by yourself. We're all in this together. We're all one in the body of Christ. Some of you are brothers and sisters more than my brothers and sisters, because we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's even better. Now, some of my brothers and sisters are in the body of Christ too, and I love them, but I love them even more now that I realize that we're all together in one body in Christ. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. To understand who we are in Christ so we can do what He wants us to do. And He can work in us. And then we will have the fullness of His joy and peace that passes all understanding. It's that simple. It's not complex or complicated. Keep that in mind. Let's stand. Thank you for being here. Pray God's richest blessings upon every one of you. We're going to be on this, I think. God can change my mind, but we're going to be on this for a while. Amen? Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for Your marvelous love and grace. We thank You for every person here. We thank You especially, Lord, for all of us who are Your children. We're in the body of Christ and in the church. And God, Lord, strengthen us, encourage us, and help us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace and to build up the body of Christ and have it to be full of joy and peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.